Scripture reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Let's read this together. Okay? If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
All right. Okay. There's a lot of giggly faces. That's good. Yeah. We'll keep this up here for a little bit. Okay. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. So I often talk about this. What's one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us? Yes, Joel.
Family.
Family. Yeah. Peter. Jesus, of course. Yeah. Yeah. What else, Joel?
Life.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Brayden.
Bible.
Bible. All good answers. Okay. All good answers. But really, one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us is the people around us, right? The people around us, especially when we can share love and find encouragement from one another, right? Share our concerns, share our happy moments, sad moments. What do you guys think? That's one of the greatest gifts, isn't it? And God has created us to live in harmony with one another. Don't you guys think? What do you guys think? God has created us to live in harmony with one another. And so that's one of the greatest gifts. But there's a flip side to people. What is it about people? People can be the greatest gift, but it can also be the greatest, greatest enemy or greatest curse. Think about it. Think of the times when you've had some of the most difficult times in your life. Right? Try to think back. I'll bet you any money, most of the time, these difficult moments came about because of other people. Isn't it? Friends, or conflict with family, parents, or sibling, or just people. People just get on your nerves and who've made life very difficult for you. You're all in school now, right? I know for a fact that if not now, there has been or there will be a time when there's just somebody who just gets on your last nerve, right? Or just who makes life very miserable for you. And you go home and just you're so tired because you've had to deal with this person. Am I right? What do you guys think? You guys have all had that experience. So today we're going to reflect on what do we do in these kind of situations? Right? What do we do? And what does our faith teach us about, how we should reflect and respond to these kind of situations? So that's what we're going to reflect on today. But to start, we're going to have some discussion. Okay? So you're going to get into your groups, care groups, and just two simple questions. Describe a difficult person you are dealing with or have dealt with, right? And how did this person make you feel? All right? What about that? Pretty simple, right? Okay, get into your groups. I'll give you guys about, 5 minutes, okay? Not too long, about 5 minutes. So don't take too long. All right. So you guys had some good discussion, right? This is one topic I realized it really got you guys going. I could hear so much talking. Some other questions, it's like kind of, you want to talk? But this is good. Okay. So it seems like everyone has somebody, right, who's gotten on their nerves or whatever. Okay. Let me just ask generally, so the second question in terms of kind of how these things made you feel, what are some emotions that came out in your sharings? So in your group, what kind of emotions?
Oh, it's talking.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of emotions?
Well, I don't know. I just like really angry at this person, really frustrated with them.
Okay, anger and frustration. Yeah. And what about that group? What kind of emotions or feelings? I don't know. Okay, yeah, that group. What? Cringing? Cringing? Frustration, anger, cringing? What about Hannah's group back? Okay, yeah, those are good words. Worthless, angry, frustration. Yeah, and then what about that group back there?
So, Monica's group. We had intense anger.
Yeah.
And annoying and just hatred and just looking at the first mix mad.
Okay. Just even looking at the makes you mad, right? Triggers emotions, okay? Intense anger. Yeah. Yeah. Frustration. And what about you guys? Some emotions.
We said like annoyed, pissed off.
Yeah.
One of us said like we didn't really want to talk to people after that.
Okay. Oh, okay. So that's a good one. Annoyed, you know, upset, and then withdrawn, actually. You didn't want to talk to other people because of this person made you feel a certain way. Very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah. These are all kind of emotions that get triggered, right? When we're dealing with someone who's very difficult. So here's the thing, guys. In life, we're always going to encounter difficult people. It's never going to end. Okay. So that's why, these kind of lessons are very important. So when you encounter, let's say, like a mean person or a person who brings you down, what's our first reaction often? Yeah, so you've identified the emotions that come up, but you know, what do many people do? How do we respond? What do you guys think? Well, a lot of people just kind of lash out, right? Like, you hit me, I hit you back, kind of thing, right? And unfortunately, we're seeing some bad examples of this among, leaders in this world, right? Someone criticizes them, they just fight right back. You know, that's the kind of example we're seeing. But does that really solve anything, guys? What do you guys think? Does that really solve anything? I mean, in the very short term, okay, you might feel good, like, yeah, you know, like, lash right back. I understand, like, oh, you hit me, boom, you know? So, okay, in the very short term, it might feel good, because, like, I got to get that off my chest. But really, does that solve anything between you and the other person? Right? No, I don't think it does. If anything, that kind of ill feeling, it remains, doesn't it? If anything, it gets worse if you react that way. And then what's another reaction? So we either lash back, or another reaction can be, I think April said it, we can just say, okay, you know what? I'm cutting you off. You're out. You're done. Right? That's another response. I don't want to associate with you. And, sometimes there are times we need to do that. Like if we're being actually harmed or abused, so like physically or even psychologically, there are times we need to separate ourselves because we're not called to just voluntarily like receive abuse. Okay, so there are times, but I will venture to say I think those times are more rare where you actually have to separate yourself from that person, at least permanently. So once in a while we need a break, but permanent separation, that's not very often. So, what do we do then, right? What do we do? Because often in life, you're not going to actually be able to separate yourself from the person. You'll either be, in class together, or you'll be working together. So that kind of physical separation often won't be possible. So are you just going to live with that underlying tension then? That's another way, I guess. But that is going to make you feel more drained and lack of energy, right? So, let's reflect on this. Because I think actually this is perhaps the most important skill you can learn. I know in school you guys are learning how to be brilliant mathematicians or scientists or business people or whatever, but this is the secret most important skill. Okay, that actually, I don't know why, we don't really learn this. Okay, but here at church we'll try to reflect and learn a bit. Because our faith has a lot of wisdom to provide. Okay, so I asked in your discussion groups, how it made you feel, right? And I asked that for a very intentional purpose. That's the very first step we need to take is actually ask ourselves, okay, whoa, I'm feeling a certain way. What am I actually feeling? Okay, that's step number one. You have to actually be aware of your emotion. And that's the first most important skill. Often, we just react without even thinking about what it is we're feeling, right? So ask yourself, what is your feeling? And then, I didn't ask this in discussion, but the next question to ask, what's the next question to ask? Anyone? What? Yes. Why? Okay. So first is the what. What am I feeling? The second thing is why. Okay. Why am I feeling this way? Okay. So someone says something very mean about me, and because of that, I feel angry. Then let's ask myself, why do I feel angry? Okay. Yeah, number one, it's so unfair and unjust. It's so not true. So I feel angry. Okay, that's one reason. And then maybe another is, ooh, maybe they struck a nerve and like it strikes at one of my insecurities, right? And it makes me feel less valuable and worthless. Someone said that, right? Worthless, you know? So that's why I feel upset. Because it's actually making me encounter one of my insecurities. Okay, do you guys know what I'm saying? This process is very important. Okay, and it's all, you guys have heard the word self-awareness. This is true self-awareness. Okay, like first being aware of what emotion you're feeling and why. Okay, and that this is a process that we can ask God to help us with. God, I'm feeling just these emotions. Can you help clarify what is it? Okay, so then, you know, if you pray and ask God, I think will start to reveal, okay, this is what I'm feeling, and why am I feeling this way? Oh, okay, I think it's because of this and this. Okay, it's a very important skill to have in life in general, right? Because I want you guys to all be very, you know, whole people going out into the world, right? So this is one of the most important skills you can learn. And I think real leadership requires this kind of self-awareness. You guys hear? You guys dig? Yeah? Okay. So what are those first two steps? What did I just say? What's the first step? Okay, awareness of what? Yeah, okay, awareness of what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling it. Okay, those are the first two. Okay, so just think what and why. Okay? All right, but that's just the first step, and that's a general human thing that we should all cultivate, okay? But as Christians, I think we are called to take a further step than that. All right? And what do you think that further step is? Sorry? Oh, okay, that's actually a good one. Forgiveness, that is one, definitely. But before we can actually see, because that's easy to say, but when you're really like ticked off at someone, like, can you just forgive them at that moment? Let's be real, right? You're in no condition to say, okay, I just forgive, right? So before we can even get there, there's something else we need to do. So we need to be aware of our own emotion. But then the next thing is, like, when someone's like behaving a certain way or acting out, why do you guys think they do that? What are some possible reasons? Yeah, Braden?
Maybe because they're having troubles in their family. Because I know that most of the times people who are bugging others are the people who are having a bugged up life.
Yeah, having a bugged up life of their own. Yeah, very good. Yeah, David? They're seeking attention, right? And they want to be known and they're craving it. Yeah, I think you guys actually identified them very well. Often, you know, outward behavior is just a manifestation, a reflection of what's going on inside. Okay? And as Christians, I think we're called to be able to recognize that. But see, the reason I said the first two things is before we can start to identify what's going on with someone else, I have to be able to identify what's going on with me. You guys know what I'm saying? It starts with me, okay? And if I can identify my own emotions and why I'm feeling that way, then we can start to see, oh, in someone else, okay? So, like, sure, that person's behavior, at first it gets me really upset, but then I've had a chance to think about it, and then now it's like, okay, why is that person behaving that way? Why would that person say stuff like that? And often, reason really is there's a lot of hurt or anger or frustration or insecurity deep inside. What do you guys think? Right? I mean, think about us. We're also insecure, right? So, of course, someone else is probably going to be insecure. Right? And here's the thing. I think in high school, like, people often like to, like, just talk smack about each other, right? Like, oh, this person this, you know? And I thought about that. Why do people do that? Right? Often it's because, yeah, like, people are very insecure. They haven't had enough love or attention for themselves. But by putting someone else down is the way of making themselves go up. You guys know what I'm saying? Only by someone else going down can I actually feel up. So that's, I think, why a lot of people will just talk negatively about others and things like that. It reflects their own unhappiness. Okay? But once we identify that, we don't use that to judge and condemn them. As Christians, like when our own heart is transformed, you know, we can actually then start to have compassion for that person, right? That's the song Majesty we sang, you know, like, forgiven so that I can forgive, you know? When we can realize that, oh, okay, I have all this messed up things of my own, but God has been gracious to me, okay, maybe now I can also be gracious to others, okay? Understand them. So having that attitude of compassion. And then if possible, you know, this is the final step of a Christian, okay? What did Jesus do generally in his life? Like, what kind of people did he reach out to? What kind of people did Jesus reach out to? Yeah?
People who most needed it, I should say.
Okay, people, yeah, people most needed it. Good. What else? Isolated people, yes. Anything else? Very good. Those who are like isolated and shunned by society. I think some of you guys mentioned it. Like, there will be this person who's like, just maybe he's like acts so arrogantly and like so cocky, or this girl who just can't stop like gossiping or like and just saying bad mean things about other girls or whatever, right? And so what tends to happen is like people, that person is weird or that person is like messed up. Let's shut them out, right? That's a natural tendency for us to do. And I mean, I understand, because you don't want to deal with it and you don't like how it makes you feel. But as Christians, the way of Jesus was, those are the very people that he reached out to, okay? And what Jesus did is he went beneath the surface to identify what's going on underneath. And what he did is, not in a non-judgmental way, just help that person become aware of what they're feeling, okay? So that's kind of the path that Jesus took, okay? And that's our calling. So let's summarize, okay? What's the first thing that we do when we relate to difficult people? Sorry? Yeah, Kayla?
Be aware.
Be aware, okay. Be aware of what?
Of your feeling and why.
Okay, yeah. Be aware of your feeling and why. And then what's after that? In your own words. Yeah? Yeah. So the what are you feeling and why? And then what did I say after that? What is the other person going through? Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. There's a word called empathy, okay? Empathy is being able to relate, to understand what the other person is going through. Okay, and then finally, what? Well, actually, I didn't say it, I guess. It's solidarity, okay? Solidarity with the person or people who are isolated. Even, okay? Solidarity with the person or people who are isolated. Now, think about it. Is that a popular thing to do? If everyone else is like shunning that person and you try to show compassion to that person, is that an easy and popular thing to do? No, right? Because we don't want to be like ourselves excluded. But here is the secret of the life of Jesus, okay? Jesus did not take the popular path. As Christians, we're not called to be popular, okay? That is one of the greatest temptations, is to be popular. And to be popular, we will join others in excluding people, right? But the very message of Jesus and of Christ is he went out of his way to be in solidarity with those who are isolated. It didn't matter what they did or what kind of person they were. Everyone thought, they said to Jesus, like, why are you hanging out with all these sinners? You know, like, back in those days, they were like taxpayers, prostitutes, these kind of people. Why are you hanging out with them? But because precisely, those are the kind of people who are isolated that God has a heart for. Okay, and what Jesus did is reach beneath the surface to help them see what is going on in them, right? And that's how true transformation comes, right? When we can identify, this is what's going on in me. And you know what else happened to Jesus? He actually spoke out against those who would try to exclude them. Now, who has power, right? Who has power? Powerful people are those who have the power to exclude someone, right? So in a social group, the one with power is going to be like the cool person or like the one with influence. And if that person says, yeah, let's exclude that person, that's the person in power. So Jesus spoke out against those people and said, you know, God's will is not for you to exclude this person. Now, the more he did that, the more, what do you think? Do you think they liked it? They didn't like it, right? And this guy's starting to become a troublemaker. And so eventually, what happened to Jesus? Yeah, they killed him on the cross, right? And that was the way that Jesus followed. He stood up for truth. He stood up for love and compassion. And it was not the popular way. And eventually he got killed for it. So now if that's all it was, if that's where it remained, then that's kind of that's not a very inspiring thing to model after, right? But yet, what happened to Jesus at the end, after he died? Yeah, Caitlin? Yeah, you got God raised him up, right? Back to life. I mean, the message there is that at the end of the day, you know, God's truth and God's love prevails, okay? It may not seem like a popular route right now, but if we follow that way of truth and love and compassion, that is the only way to actual real life, the life that God has intended for us, the resurrected new life. Okay, that's what we mean when we say new life, born again, all these things, okay? It's to experience a new perspective on life, all right? So yeah, there's a huge temptation to just be in and popular, but the Christian way, the calling of Jesus to us is to be in solidarity with compassion for those who are isolated and left out. See, in real life, when we relate to real life, that's hard, right? It's not going to be easy. But let's reflect a little bit, okay? Let's bow our heads a bit. Okay, and so just think about your own life, what's going on with you, and some of these examples you may have talked about, and think about the message that you just heard, and just reflect a little bit, and and think about how this could apply in your own life. Okay, so just take a moment to think about that. Okay, and I'm going to close off in prayer for us, okay? Dear God, thank you for today. Lord, we know that in life, we'll always encounter difficulties with people and others around us. People are the greatest gift, but it's also the greatest challenge in life. Lord, we pray that you grant us wisdom first. When we encounter situations, help us to recognize what it is that we're feeling and how these things make us feel, so that we can have some insight. And then with that insight, help us to see, look into the other person too, to try to understand more with compassion what it is that they're really going through, and that their outward behavior is just a reflection of what's inside. And more than that, help us not to join others in shunning them or trying to exclude them, but help us be able to stand in solidarity with those who are isolated and not socially popular or in, because that is the calling that you have for us, to be in solidarity with those who are outcasted. It's not an easy road, Lord. It requires courage, but we pray for that courage as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.